Because of what Jesus has done for us, we know that he really loves us. Amen. Y'all see what the music department did right there? Because of what Jesus has done for us, we know that he really loves us. Amen. We are in March, ladies and gentlemen. We are in March. It still feels like the year has just started, but yet so much has happened. But we know that God's love stands forever. Amen. It continues to abound. Some of you may hear it in my voice. Some of you may be able to see me right now, but I am under the weather. I am under the weather, but I thank God that I'm not under the grave. Amen? Amen. I am under the weather, but I'm not under the ground. There is a difference. So if I'm under the weather, I can still praise him and give him glory and thank him because he continues to love me after all that I've done. I know what he has done for me. Amen? Amen. So yeah, I'm under the weather. Yeah, it's a gloomy day outside, but we're still gonna praise God, amen? We're still gonna give him glory because somebody like that who continues to love us, amen? Amen. Father, we come to you thanking you, God, for your loving kindness, Lord, for your faithfulness, God, for you just continuing to just continue showing us grace, God, and mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, Lord, and what he has done, God. We don't want to wait until Easter to start thanking you, God, for what he has done. But thank you. We ask, Lord, that in this preached word, Lord, that you prepare the hearts and minds of the hearers as well as the speaker. Lord, give me clarity of thought and clarity of mind, Lord. And Lord, do not let my physical malady, Lord, take me away from your word, God, and dispensing your spiritual blessings, Lord, upon us, God. Let me... Holy Spirit, just empower me as if I were totally well, God, to move forward and to deliver your word, Lord, with power and with clarity, Lord, but with accuracy, God, and with conviction, God. I thank you for what you're getting ready to show us, Lord, and I ask, Lord, that we already know your word will not return unto you void, but again, just prepare our hearts and minds for what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, last week we started a series. Okay. For those of us online or those of us that can't read it from where you're sitting, it says, "Why does the church want my money?" I find it better if we ask questions bluntly instead of trying to sugarcoat some things. Why does the church want my money? And this series is to explain not only the answer to that question, but how that question may need to be reformulated. Last week, we talked about the attitude of giving. The attitude of giving. Coming from 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 6th through 7th verses, we talked about how we need to think about the amount and the attitude. With the amount, we covered that it doesn't have to be the traditional 10%. But the law of giving, You sow a little, you reap a little. You sow a lot, you get a lot. That law does apply. But we also need to think about the attitude, which is we don't want to do guilt giving or threat giving, but cheerful giving. And we talked about having a spirit of laughing all the way to the plate. That's what we talked about last week, the attitude of giving. So today I want to come from a similar or the same portion of scripture, but the next couple of verses. This 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 8th through 9th verses. When you have it, say amen. If you still need time, say wait a minute. Amen. I'm going to change this mic a little bit. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9th chapter, 8th through 9th verses. I will be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. You will also find these words up here on the screen. You will find similar words printed. Chapter, the 8th verse reads as follows. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel. Some say have an abundance or may abound. You may excel in every good work. As it is written, he distributed freely. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. I would like to come to you from the topic, the motive of giving. The motive of giving. Many of us know about the American dream. We want to have lots of money, be comfortable. And we also, some of us also have the LA dream, which is not only to be rich, but to be famous. In La La Land, you can get rich and famous. Many churches have the same goal. Many of our churches want to be rich and famous. We want to have all the money to do what we want to do on our budgets. And we also want people to come to our church. Amen. That's being rich and being famous. Now, I want you to follow me. What if God were to guarantee us fortune and fame? Talking to St. John. What would it be if God were to guarantee us, promise us, fortune and fame? And even farther than that, what if there was really one main thing we had to do to get fortune and fame? Now, some of you are saying, where are we going with this?
Stick with me here. I believe God wants us to have fortune and fame. But there's a certain way he wants to do this. Now, I know lights are going off because this sounds like the prosperity gospel. But there is a difference between the prosperity gospel and the true gospel. And I'm bringing this up because we need to understand this, not only for this part portion of what Paul is saying, but for the rest, because you can take everything I'm going to say a whole different way if you don't understand the difference between the prosperity gospel and the true gospel. And the prosperity gospel, as revealed in the Bible, the emphasis is really taking. False prophets in the Bible, they were talking about taking from the poor. Whereas in the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the focus is giving to the poor. Everybody with me so far? One's taking from the poor, and the other is giving to the poor. What Paul is talking about right now is giving to the poor. And the other major difference is that the primary beneficiary is yourself. With the prosperity gospel, it's about how you can get rich and enjoy your life, how you can be better and live happily. But in the true gospel, it's about how we can benefit others, how God blesses us in order to bless others. There's other differences, but I really want to make sure this is clear before I keep talking. Because you can take everything that Paul is saying a different way. So that all said, let's get back to being rich and famous. What does God promise when we talk about taking from the poor, versus giving to the poor? What does God promise if we give to the poor? That's the question I want to answer today. What does God promise if we give to the poor? And let's make it specific, starting with our own church. What does God promise when we give to the poor? Well, the first promise, the first point, is that our revenue will last. Our revenue will last. We talk about rich and famous, right? Our revenue will last. Some of you say, how in the world did you get that? Let's look at verse 8. And God is able to make every grace. Y'all see how many times there's every grace? So that in every way, always, having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. God's, through Paul, is talking about how this is going to happen all the time. This is guaranteed. But then you also see the verbs and the nouns of abundance. God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may not barely make it, not just get by, but excel in every good work. I'm just reading the scripture. I'm just reading it. if I'm just reading it just straight up, just like Paul is talking to the church of Corinth and trying to get them to finish their offering for the other churches, just like Paul is doing that, he is saying all this. What is he saying here? We will have plenty to bless others if we give to the poor. We will have plenty. Really? I don't know, God. But we will have plenty to bless others. I'm reminded of an organization. Their name is Missionaries for Christ Ministries. They're not a church. They're a parachurch ministry. They have much less people than are here today. And they are able, their ministry is to feed the homeless. And you know what's interesting is that it's talking about only a few people that give out of their private, means. But every time they have a barbecue, every time there's a fellowship, every time there's an event where the homeless are being fed or clothed or somehow cared for, there is always an abundance. Every single time. And sometimes I just wonder how. We have churches 5 times as large, 10 times, 20 times as large as they are and can't do it. But you have a small group of committed believers who are dedicated to giving to the poor. And not only do they barely, they have an abundance. They excel in their work. How? See, there's this conception that, most of St. John is on a fixed income. So the problem is, we can't give more, especially to our poor, we can't give more because we're on a fixed income. Fixed meaning ain't moving. Fixed meaning I ain't getting no more money. There's no way. I see what they did at the Church of Corinth, but there's no way God could just suddenly bless this church with more money. No way! First of all, never say never. One thing I've learned, never say never to God. I said I would never preach, I would never be a pastor. That was my problem. He proved me wrong. Never say never to God. God is extremely creative. God knows how to bring new revenue in. God knows how to increase what's already here. God knows how to cut expenses. God can provide donations. God can provide gifts out of nowhere. Because what does the scripture say? God is able to make every grace abound or overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. It is not because we have great planning. It is not because we went to business school. It is not because we suddenly got an inheritance. It is because God is in control. And the same God who created food out of thin air, the same God who created the world out of nothing, the same God can work miracles with our fixed income, with our not moving budget. He can do anything, and he can do everything. Amen. But not only will our revenue last, Now I need you to follow me. Okay. Verse 9. This is 2 Corinthians 9th chapter, verse 9. This is actually from Psalm 112. It's a direct quotation from Psalm 112, verse 9, actually. Interesting. And Psalm 112 describes a man who loves and worships God. You can read the whole psalm. That's who he's talking about, a God-fearing person. This person loves and worships God, and in turn, this person has been blessed by God. And you'll see over and over in Psalm 112 that it highlights his righteousness. Follow me. His righteousness endures forever. That phrase is repeated. And when something's repeated over and over, you need to pay attention. Somebody said, if God said it once, that's enough. But if he says it twice, and if he says it three times, amen. Some of us had parents that said that, right? If I said it once, it ought to be enough. But if I have to say it again, it is a descriptive psalm, Psalm 112. Again, I'm quoting. This is going back to what Psalm 112 is. Psalm 112 is a descriptive psalm. And basically what it is saying is, because this man is righteous, he has or does all of these things. Let me make sure I say that very clearly. It is describing that man. So because he is already righteous, he has or does all of these things. Because he's already righteous. His reputation is a result of his character. So with this man, again, talking Psalm 112, because I want to make sure we're all biblical here. Part of what this man does is give to the poor. Why? Because he's already righteous. So saying just because he's already righteous, this is just something he does. He gives to the poor. What am I saying? Paul is using this to show that his faith in God was made famous. Talking about being rich and famous. His faith in God, the righteousness, his faith in God was made famous because Or it was made famous through his love for the poor. Again, now let's come to 2 Corinthians. As it is written, he distributed freely, he gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. And that is what Paul wanted to get over to the Corinthians. And this is what I want to get over today. Imagine what people would say if we gave to the poor as a church. Imagine. Do y'all know what people are saying about the church right now? Let's not even talk about the worldwide. I'm talking about churches in LA. Do y'all know what they say about LA? Very influential show for those that are outside the church. And it confirmed, and I say this because I had people coming up and asking me, is this really what happens? That the church is just a big money scheme and we just give and somehow, some way I'll make it out on top. But imagine what the church would look like. Imagine what the people would say if we took care of our poor in our churches. Imagine! Imagine the shift in thought. Christians are hate-filled hypocrites. Christians just want to get more money. Imagine how that would shift if we had a reputation, if we were famous for taking care of our own. There was an official in Rome a little after the church had started, and that official hated Christians, could not stand the gospel of Jesus Christ, just absolutely against it. And he was complaining and just, all of that is stupid. That's what he was saying. But he said, I just can't get over this one fact. Not only do they take care of the poor in their churches, but they take care of the poor around them. See, that's something people can't fight. I know we have this thing about the homosexual agenda and we have this thing about Muslims and all this, but people can't fight love. And when people see our love, when people see it and know that we give to our poor and we take care of our poor, what are they going to say? Oh, we need to shut the church down. You know, this freedom of speech thing is getting out of... But these people take care of the poor. Well, we need to shut them down because they're hypocritical. But these people take care of the poor. Imagine how that would change. Imagine how the shift in how people and the media treat church. If we were famous for taking care of our poor. But there's always an objection. We're attracting the wrong crowd. Can't have everybody coming here for a paycheck. I know some of us are laughing and some of us are dead serious. You need to address this. Especially because it's happened here before, here, St. John. People coming in and trying to get more money because we the church and we supposed to have money to help them out. We've been hustled before. We're going to talk about that more later on. But what I can say right now is this. Have you ever had pizza? And, you know, pizza has lots of toppings. Pepperoni, sausage, olive. That's my favorite. It's pepperoni, sausage, olive. Sometimes jalapenos. Some people like pineapples. Some people like anchovies. I don't know that. I don't understand that one. But then when some people get a pizza they don't like, let's say something with olives on it, they don't like the olives, right? So do they just throw away the pizza? They pick the olives out. Some people like salad. No, they pick out the croutons. What they're doing is a process called filtering. Okay, you get the stuff out that you don't want so you can keep what you do want. Our problem is that we let the bad ones screw it up for the good ones. We say, because these two people tried to hustle us, we can't help the other 50 people that actually need the help. And what I'm going to suggest, and I'm going to talk about this a lot later on, filter it out. We got to have a good, nice system for filtering it out. Paul did. There were requirements for getting help from the church. He didn't just help anybody and everybody. There were requirements. We will talk about it later. But please, don't let these bad experiences stop us from doing what God wants us to do. As I close, God promises that our revenue and our reputation will last. And I'm going to say this again. And like I said, I'm not a prosperity preacher. Do it. Do it for the fortune and the fame. Let's give to the poor so we can be rich and famous. Do it for the fortune and the fame, but not ours. We're not trying to build a little empire here. We're not trying to, make ourselves look good to the world. But do it because God has given us so much. Let's start with the most obvious and the best gift that he has given us. He has given us Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, walked this earth. The apostle says, for even though he was rich, he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich. Not just in dollars, not just in houses and land, but that he would go on a cross and die for us so that we may have the right to the tree of life, so that we can be called sons and daughters of the Most High, so that we can have an inheritance, so that we can have access to the heavenly riches and the blessings, so that we can have a connection with our God. Jesus died for us. And yes, he was buried. And on that third day, he got up. He rose up. That means he was true. He wasn't lying. He was for real. That's rich by yourself. That's before we talk about all the clothes we got on. That's before we talk about the family we've got. That's before we talk about the car we drove here in. That's before we talk about our job or our pension or our 401k or IRA. Before we talk about that, we are rich beyond measure. And you know what rich people do? They can't. See, you don't give if you don't think you're rich. Oh, Lord, this isn't even in the notes. You don't even give if you don't think you're rich. But if you know you're rich, if you know what God has done for you, you are compelled, you are propelled to give. But not just so you people can see you. Not so you can go on, not so your name can be on a newspaper, not so we can get that plaque we was talking about last week. But so that the name of Jesus Christ can be famous, so that people can see how the church takes care of its poor. St. John, if we had this reputation in this community, talking about us in this community, if we had this reputation in this community, oh my Lord, how things would change. Oh my Lord, how we could change the nature of churches. Y'all realize we live in La La Land? Y'all realize we live in the land of the rich and the famous? And if the famous could see what St. John is doing, don't worry about what the church down there is doing. If people could see what St. John is doing about how we try to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God, and we do that with our money because we know that money talks and money's going to talk the same way we want it to talk. We show people how much we love our poor. And why do we do that? Because God loves us so much. And to give back is easy. You want to be rich and famous? Give to the poor. Church, you want to be rich and famous? You want this church to have money abounding and we want to excel in all these projects. We want to be rich and famous, and people want to come here and just be part of what's going on. We give to our poor. That's what the scripture's saying. I didn't write this.